You know, that's what being a dad is all about. It's about having people depend on you.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Belcampo. Building health and immunity is more important now than ever. And it all starts with what you put on your plate, and how it's raised matters as well. My family and I have been doing a lot more cooking together. It's a great way to bond. And we have found that when you use quality meats and foods, you can definitely taste it in your meals. Belcampo is a pioneer of hyper-sustainable, organic, grass-fed, certified, humane meats, broths, and jerkies. The company is on a mission to revolutionize the meat industry for the well-being of the people, the planet, and animals by farming meat the right way. With certified, humane, regenerative, and climate-positive practices, which means it's better for you, the planet, and the animal. Belcampo animals also grow more slowly as nature intended. This is a difference you can see and taste compared to conventional meats. That's why I chose Belcampo over other brands. The way Belcampo raises its animals isn't only better for your health, it has a positive impact on the environment. Belcampo practices regenerative agriculture, which means it's climate positive and carbon negative. So you can feel good about what you're eating. I'm teaming up with Belcampo to give first-time customers 20% off their order. Make sure you go to belcampo.com/artoffatherhood for 20% off your first order. What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast on the line. I'm very happy to have LeVar Burton. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, LeVar. How you doing, sir?
I'm really well today, Art. How you feel?
I am doing great. I appreciate you taking the time. A lot of stuff I want to talk to you about, but first off, let's talk about the Reading Rainbow app. Tell me about the process of creating this app and kind of what inspired you to do it.
Wow. Well, actually, the story goes back a little bit more than a year.
Okay.
That's when we released the Reading Rainbow app a year ago in June. So we've been out there in the marketplace plugging for a while, but we're beginning to get some traction in the marketplace, and I'm really, really pleased about that. So the idea was to take the television show, which was the technology we used in the 80s to get kids hooked on books, interested in literature and reading as a way to improve their lives and their prospects. And we figured that the brand probably still had value, and we wanted to test that premise, whether or not we could reinvent the brand for today's kids, for whom television is only one screen they use during the course of the day. If you want to reach kids today with any sort of message, you pretty much have to be on a mobile device. And so the idea was to translate the television show into an app experience for kids where they could read and discover books. That's the whole point of the television show is still the same, giving kids an opportunity to discover books that they want to read and watch videos that are related to the literature. You know, the real world and connecting the real world and literature was always the mission of the show.
Yeah, I loved the show back in the day. I remember watching growing up. I enjoy this app because it reminds me of when I used to watch a show, and I think you're 100% correct how you got to kind of go with the flow of technology, and this is doing it, especially with Reading Rainbow, such a great show back in the day. And now one of the features I love is the Read to Me or Read on My Own feature. What are some of the features that you made sure that they were going to be on this app to make it, I guess, LeVar approved?
Well, in order for it to really be Reading Rainbow, we had to nail both books, which I think we've done with our library, a mobile library of books, and video, right? Reading Rainbow was always about the video as well, the video field trip. And so we continue that tradition. We are shooting new content all the time, video field trips with LeVar, just like the original television series. And so I'm most proud of our ability to deliver both of those elements in an experience for kids that does seem to be working in terms of getting them to read. Kids are reading like 72,000 books a week in the app.
And they're
choosing reading as the activity on the app that they would like to do. So we're pretty excited about the indications, what we feel like we've accomplished so far, and we feel like there's so much more for us to take on.
Yeah, it's amazing because there are certain apps that are stale, so to speak, and you guys just keep on forever growing, which I think is awesome to have for an app. And it's always something that's like a standby app, especially like if you're in the car or if you're shopping or whatever. It's just something that's educational and fun and the kids love. And like I said, it's always ever changing. So I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing.
Well, this is the other thing that I'm really proud of. It was really important for me to offer what I consider to be value for families, right? So we're a subscription model. You know, you mentioned that, you know, we're continually refreshing the app. We have to. We're a subscription model, which means that we have new subscribers every day. And so we have to satisfy the needs of the subscribers from day one now who've been with us for over a year. They need to see new content, new books, new videos, and that's part of the beauty of what we're doing. We are an ever-growing mobile library of books and videos, all in an app that's created and curated by me and my team.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal app. And people, if you haven't checked this out and you have kids at any age, make sure you download the Reading Rainbow app. Like I said, big fan of the show growing up. So many great books that were brought to my attention. For you, when the show came about and you guys were doing it just in the beginning stages, what kind of clicked in your mind that's like, all right, this show is going to take off because why?
Well, it was an experiment in the beginning. You know, back in 83 when we launched, we didn't know if it would work. It was an idea. Let's see if we can't use the medium of television where we know our kids, they want to be, and let's, you know, give them something that's healthy. That was the whole model of PBS. Let's give them something that's entertaining and something that's healthy too. And Reading Rainbow is like, it's like classic PBS development, right?
Yeah.
Fun and educational. And we didn't know it would work until we got the feedback from classrooms, until we got the feedback from teachers that, wow, what a great tool you guys have given us to stimulate a love of reading in the classroom. And I can't even begin to tell you, Art, how many times a week or a month somebody comes to me and says, hey, you know, we used to watch Reading Rainbow on Friday afternoons in school. It was like a highlight of the week, man. So I know that it was used and that it worked. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to continue that tradition of using technology intelligently and really making it the basis of how we get our kids excited about learning.
Yeah, I think you guys are probably one of the first shows to actually get kids excited to read and just want to go to the library and all that. Because I remember, right. You know, and my mom, like, I asked my mom, take me to the library. I want to check out this book. I just saw it on Reading Rainbow. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of touched up on my last question for Reading Rainbow. I mean, just the influence you guys had with that show. And I know you said people come up to you and all that. I mean, how much of a good feeling it is? Because I know that you love helping out the community. You want to make sure that you're making a difference. I mean, just hearing the feedback just almost solidifies, like, yes, we did the show and we're glad that it turned out this way for a lot of people.
Enormously proud. I will not lie to you. Incredibly proud. Hella, hella proud. And I'm not content to rest on those laurels. I really want to be a part of the education solution in America. That we have a crisis and we need some action. And I want to be a part of that conversation. I want our kids to be a part of that solution.
Yeah, I was a big fan. My dad got me into Star Trek. I got to kind of talk about, you know, TNG right now, The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of the show. I remember one of the things, like, my dad and I would do, like, one of the staples during the week would watch the show. For you, how did the role of Dory LaForge come about?
It's one of those weird stories, Art. I definitely believe that everything happens for a reason. And as it happens, I was a huge fan of Star Trek growing up. Loved the original series. It was a large part of the reason why I had hope for my future was the world of Star Trek, leading the way, pointing the way towards that future. And I did a TV movie many, many years ago. Awful movie. I mean, really, really bad. But it introduced me to a man named Robert H. Justman. I knew Bob Justman just from the credits of the original series. Bob Justman, Robert H. Justman, was an associate producer and worked very closely with Gene on developing and launching the original series. And so I was just so thrilled to be in this man's presence. And over the course of the shooting of this movie, it was really clear to him that I was a genuine, genuine fan. And years later, flash forward, he's working with Gene to develop The Next Generation of Paramount, and I get a call. That's how life happens, you know? Never, ever know where it's going to come from.
With the world of Star Trek, Comic-Cons, and just Trekkies and everybody just showing you guys love, especially being a new brand of Star Trek and all that, do you kind of have a favorite memory from that show? Is there something that you always take with you?
Oh, my God. As tomorrow is my wedding anniversary, I will always remember the day I got married.
Okay.
The entire family was in the house, and all of the guys were my groomsmen.
Excellent. That is great. Oh, I love that story. And especially, you've seen shows from all angles, being executive producer, director, and obviously a great actor. Out of acting and directing and producing, do you prefer one role over the others?
I just like working. You
know? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Well, the truth is that I just feel like it. Number one, the way the business has changed, it's impossible to, you know, to make your year doing one thing anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't make my year just by doing one thing. It's just not going to work out that way. I need a lot of different income sources because my life isn't hugely big, but there are certain things that I just won't skimp on. Like, I got a kid in college.
Yeah.
I got a kid in her sophomore year at University of Michigan. That's a 50K a year, baby.
Wow.
That's no joke.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So I've got a family for whom I am the patriarch.
Yeah, and yeah, so you always want to stay busy, and you do.
People who depend on me.
Yeah, love it. Nice.
We all do. We all do. Yep. You know, that's what being a dad is all about. It's about having people depend on you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And getting up every day and doing whatever it is necessary in order to get it done because people are depending on you.
Yeah. And one last question about the entertainment business before we go into fatherhood. Loved your cameos in The Big Bang Theory. What's it like to kind of see the geek culture, quote unquote, come alive on that show? And like you guys, I think everybody in Star Trek embraces that show. So what's your take on that show and just like the geek culture right now?
Well, between both Big Bang and Community,
it's
really opened up a whole new can of worms in terms of fandom. For me, because both of these shows have their own independent fandoms, and so when you cross those fandoms, it gets really wild. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's been great. To see, you know, 25, 26 years later, the next generation, that version of Star Trek, we call a part of the heart of popular culture. Is a beautiful thing because that's not easy to do. The original Star Trek did that. It could have gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I know what it feels like, the sense of responsibility in trying to take a beloved brand and reinvent it or reboot it, having done it with Reading Rainbow. And don't think I wasn't hugely informed by watching Paramount and Star Trek over the years and what I think they did right and what I think they did wrong. And it's hugely informative to me. On my journey as the co-founder of this company and the steward of this brand.
Yeah, and one last thing with The Big Bang Theory. After that one episode where you were responding to Sheldon's Twitter about like a party and all that, after that show aired, how many invites did you get from touring?
Every time that show airs, no matter where in the world it is, I get treats. Hey, hurrah! I'm having a party Thursday night. I can tell whether it's Canada or the UK. There it is. The Big Bang is on.
Nice.
Shows up on the Twitter line. It shows up in the timeline. There we go.
Very cool. Now switching to father for you.
Yeah.
I know you said you have, I think your daughter goes to Michigan right now, but
yeah.
How has fatherhood changed you? I mean, it's kind of going back a ways. I know obviously that question is, but for you, like, and it's probably still evolving too, but how has fatherhood kind of changed you?
You know, every stage changes you. I think every child changes you because we have children at these different stages of our lives. Both of my children have impacted me in different ways, but equally powerfully, just really, really powerfully. And now I find again at being a grandfather. Is changing me again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the gift that is this relationship, this father-grandfather relationship with the next generation, to borrow a phrase, is deep for me. Because look at Roots and what Roots represented.
Yeah.
The sense of family and the sense of the continuity of family and how important that is in order for people to feel whole. Right?
Yeah.
That's a value that I really embrace. Our family members, our children, our spouses, our parents, you know, we're here to learn and teach one another. We all have lessons to learn from our family. I believe that we pick these people, these souls, purposefully, right?
Yeah.
So these primary relationships, these important relationships are not trivial, you know?
Yeah.
They are all meant to bring us a deeper understanding of ourselves and what our purpose is. And there's nothing like hearing grandpa, you know, from the voice of a small child. It makes you swell up with pride and there's just nothing you would not do to protect and ensure the health and safety of this being.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Oh, yeah. I remember Christmases ago, I got this one handmade Christmas present from my daughter who was just in preschool, I bawled at it. My wife was laughing and kind of like also like was happy that I was crying, but she goes, it's so funny to see a manly man cry over this piece of, you know, plastic that someone made for you, that your daughter. So yeah, I get it, man. It fatherhood definitely changes you for the better. And
by the way, manly men do cry.
Yeah.
Manly men do cry.
Yep.
If you just get over it. That's the truth. Manly men do cry.
Nice. What are some of the things maybe back in the day you did with your kids, the fun things, and now with your grandkids? Or obviously, you know, you can still have fun with your kids, but like, what are the some things you guys do when you all like get together and have fun?
We laugh. And I think this is holds true with every family. You find that you find those things that you laughed about when you were kids are some of the same things that you laugh about now. It's the same way with my high school buddies, you know?
Yeah.
We laugh about the same stupid stuff today. And we laughed about back then, you know.
Yep.
The jokes are old, but we've been telling them to each other all of these years, and it just makes them, I guess, you know, a part of who we are. That's the feeling of family when you're with people that know you, and sometimes it's not the length of time, it's the depth of how we are known that really determines the quality of the relationships.
With the quality of relationships and all that, what are some of the core values that you wanted to teach your kids and instill in them as they grew up?
Definitely the idea, and this is a core value that has been passed on for a couple of generations now in my family, that no matter what you do it well, right? And that the pursuit of an education is still what is needed to level the playing field in a world that will often be hostile to your presence.
Wow. Very powerful. And just what you said right there about giving it your all and just doing it your best, because everything that you've done, from Roots to Reading Rainbow to Star Trek to now with the app, you've definitely put in your all. And like you said, you're always busy. You're always doing something. So I just, again, I appreciate you taking the time to talk about the Reading Rainbow app, your great entertainment career, and of course, fatherhood. Continued success with everything you're doing. I can't thank you enough for taking the time and chatting with us.
All right, Eddie, my pleasure. My pleasure, my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.